Hello, everyone. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday roundup coming to you tonight from our very rain-soaked and wet nation's capital. We had to contend with Tropical Storm Hannah today. We have a lot of water in the nation's capital, but I'm very confident with the amount of hot air in Washington, D.C., the water will be disappearing rather rapidly. Well, we have a lot to talk about in the next hour. We've got, of course, we had the Republican National Convention in St. Paul. It was another one of these fascist fests with the cops out in force, arresting journalists, TV reporters, radio announcers, anyone they could get their hands on. This is how the Republican Party operates. They relish in that type of environment. And, of course, so much so they decided to nominate as their vice presidential candidate this woman, Sarah Palin. Formerly, a year and a half ago, let's see, she was mayor of a small town in Alaska. She's only been governor for a year and a half. This woman obviously has no experience, as you'll hear in a clip I'll play of her before she was nominated. But when there was rumors that she was going to be the she might be the vice presidential candidate. We have Dick Cheney trying to start some sort of war. This old cold warrior, Dick Cheney, he's a real mess. He's over there on the Russian periphery trying to get tweak the Russian bear. Anyone who knows anything about history knows you don't do that without getting severely hurt in the long run. Just ask Napoleon, Charles XII, and Adolf Hitler about what happens when you tweak the Russian bear. And so we've got a lot to talk about this evening here on the Saturday Roundup. We'll also be talking about some problems I think that we're going to see soon with the election itself. Something tells me that the Republican Party is just a little bit too sure of themselves this time around, and that's why they picked this woman, Sarah Palin. She's really a Neanderthal. Her views on creationism and race relations, where she calls Eskimos, the Inuit people of Alaska, Arctic Arabs, and even worse, apparently, according to some recent press reports. McCain has not gotten a bump in the polls by picking Palin, which tells me that there's something, they have something once again up their sleeve. And I think unless Karl Rove is put in a supermax prison in solitary confinement for the rest of his natural life, this man, Rove, will continue to be involved in election fraud on a massive scale in this country. Just look at his friends. He's got all these friends who run these Republican owned and operated election companies and also other high-tech firms. And I think there's just something that tells me, and not just myself, I've talked to people who have investigated election fraud around the country, attorneys and journalists and even election officials, and they all worry about the same thing. Are we being set up for another grand theft election 2008 like we experienced in 2004 and we experienced, of course, in 2000? My fear is we had enough evidence that it took place in 2004 and in 2000 and in other elections in 2002. And we'll get back to that thought right after this break. This is Wayne Mattson with the Saturday Roundup coming to you tonight from Washington, D.C. Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you tonight from a very wet and soggy Washington, D.C. We will take your calls. The toll-free number, if you want to call in, is 800 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443 on Republic Broadcasting Network. And it is 8 after the hour. And before we took the break, I was talking about Sarah Palin. There is just something very wrong with this family. Now, people say, the Republicans want to say, at least McCain campaign and their lickspittles in the media, say you can't go there. Even Joe Biden said, you know, kids aren't part of this. Well, look, this woman Palin has stated she voted and sponsored bills to deny funding to pregnant teens. She doesn't believe in help, but that her daughter now she says her daughter is 5 months pregnant. Now there's a problem. It's a very creepy family, no matter what McCain says. He's in a creepy family. For McCain to say the Palin is some wonderful person, well, you got to look at McCain's family, what he did to his first wife after she was in an auto accident, after she stood by him when he was a POW, and then he runs off and, basically runs off with this much younger chick whose father had all the beer distributorships west of the Mississippi. And this is such a loving family. By the way, Andrew McCain, McCain's son, his bank, Silver State Bank in Nevada, was just seized by the federal government. Andrew McCain was on the board of directors, but more importantly on the audit committee. Now, you know, in typical Silverado and Neil Bush fashion, of course, Andrew McCain had nothing to do with it, just like Neil Bush had nothing to do with the collapse of the Silverado savings and loan. Oh, my God, this is, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Andrew McCain, Neil Bush, McCain, Bush, McBush, you know, it's the same thing. These people have to be run out of town, but I'm very, very concerned with McCain's selection of Sarah Palin. They know something is going to happen this November. They do not care whether she bumps McCain up in the polls or not, because something is up their sleeve, and I'm afraid that they've gotten much better at grand theft election. Anyway, let's listen to Sarah Palin. She was on Larry Kudlow's show on CNBC before, of course, McCain selected her. This should have been enough, right? Right by itself to convince John McCain that this was not the person he wanted to be stepping in the shoes of the president should something happen to him. If we can play this clip of Sarah Palin, Governor Sarah Palin from Alaska, on Larry Kudlow's program.
As for that VP talk all the time, I tell you, I still can't answer that question until somebody answers for me. What is it exactly that the VP does every day? I'm used to being very productive and working real hard in administration. We want to make sure that VP slot would be a fruitful type of position, especially for Alaskans and for the things that we're trying to accomplish up here for the rest of the U.S. before I can even start addressing that question.
Well, I worked in the White House during President Reagan's first term. Let me assure you, and I've spent a lot of time in the Bush White House as a journalist in meetings with interviews, it's a pretty big job, Madam Governor. It's a real big job. You'd be surprised how big the VP job is these days.
Well, this is a pretty cool job here, too, though, as governor of Alaska.
Well, there you have it. I don't know what the VP does. I mean, she's not running for Miss Wasilla. She already done that. She's she sounds like she's trying out and some beauty pageant, and she really doesn't know the answers. It's like that one. There was a young girl, I think she was from South Carolina, running for Miss Teen USA, and they asked her some heavy questions, and she hadn't a clue. And the more she spoke, the more stupid she sounded. I mean, this is Sarah Palin reminds me of that poor girl. Anyway, somebody suggested she's Dan Quayle in a dress. I mean, Dan Quayle was bad, but she's worse. Dan Quayle was at least in the Senate. He had to learn something, even by the process of osmosis. He should have learned something as a senator. Sarah Palin had been the mayor of this small town. The more we hear about her, I mean, she said she was pregnant. She gave birth to this trig. Unfortunately, a baby suffers from Down syndrome in April. It was complete shock to all the people who work with the governor. They didn't know she was pregnant. But she's at a Republican governor's conference in Dallas, and her water breaks at 4 a.m. She's experiencing 1 to 2 contractions per hour, and she goes and gives a keynote address to the governors. They don't see anything wrong. Then she flies back to Anchorage through Seattle, 2 planes, supposedly starting labor. Alaska Airlines allows her on 2 different planes when, it, in fact, although they don't have rules against it, if they see somebody in, you know, looks like they're heavy with child and looks like they're going to give birth, they're not going to allow the person aboard. They don't want to divert the plane. They don't want to have to try to give birth on a plane. There's lawsuits. There's litigation. Anyway, she gets back to Wasilla. Later that night, at around 10:30 that evening, she's been in labor traveling. Look, I don't think the woman was pregnant. I think she covered for her daughter. Bristol was 5 months out of school with mononucleosis. We all know what that was a code word for. And according to people I've spoken to in Alaska, in Anchorage, apparently Sarah Palin sent the daughter to live with her aunt, and that's where she gave birth. Now they say she's pregnant. You know, what is it with this family? This is such a crazy, nutty family. They're so worried about telling other people how to live their lives. She's in this Fundy Church, Assembly of God, mega church, where the pastor said that anyone who voted for John Kerry will go to hell. Well, I voted for John Kerry, but I'll tell you what, Pastor, whatever your name is, you'll be there a lot sooner than I will be. You people just make the entire Christian religion look sick. You call yourselves Christians. You're anything but. You're dominionists. You're reconstructionists. You believe in the rapture. You believe in crazy stuff. And if there is a hell, anyone who's going to go there, it's that Sarah Palin's clergy in her 2 churches, the one in Wasilla and the mega church she's been attending in Juneau, the state capital. But anyway, and now we have Grampy McCain. Grampy McCain, he says he's all for change. The only thing Grampy can change is his Depends undergarments. This guy is very, very ill. I worked with the McCain campaign. Unfortunately, I didn't know he was going to go crazy in 2000. I was his campaign manager in Arlington County, Virginia. We got 61% of the vote for him against George W. Bush, who he's starting to make look moderate. Now, that's pretty scary. When you got a guy making Bush look better, you know, there wasn't anybody, in my opinion, worse than George W. Bush, and I never thought there would ever be. But the more I see and hear of McCain, this guy is making Bush look good. And I said with Bush, W. Bush, he was making Richard Nixon look good. So, I mean, how far are we going to push this goalpost in this country before, you know, we'll all wish for the good old days of George W. Bush? But, you know, you see the people that are backing this ticket of McCain and Palin. McCain saying he's the agent of change. He's anything but the agent of change. It was kind of funny at the Republican convention. They had these thugs running around called Black Hats. They wore these black baseball caps with white stars on them. They were spying on all the delegations. They were seeing if anyone had a poster or a sign that hadn't been cleared. They'd grab it out of their hands. Even delegates could lose their credentials. Elected delegates to the convention. They are elected by the people in their states. And these thugs could go around and take their credentials and kick them out. Apparently, there was some problems with some Ron Paul delegates, and of course, you didn't hear any votes for him. They cut off the mic of the Oklahoma delegation. Apparently, every delegation, their conversations were being listened in on by these shotgun microphones that were installed in the ceiling. They're used in sporting events. They could, even with the noise in the convention, they could pick up discrete conversations within each state delegation. That is fascism. And then some Republican official joked about it and said, yeah, we want everyone to know that Big Brother is alive and doing well here. Of course, that's what the Republican Party is all about. Big Brother. Big Brother, they say they're forgetting government out of your personal business. No, they want government in your home, in your living room, in your bedroom, in your bathroom. And that's what they're all about. These are fascists. They call themselves the party of Lincoln. These people are saying McCain is the party. He's in the party and he's an adherent of the Republican Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt. You know, they can't reinvent history. Teddy Roosevelt left the Republican Party in disgust and started the Progressive Party, the Bull Moose, and he ran against the incumbent Republican president in 1912, William Howard Taft. He died a progressive. He basically told the Republican Party that everything that he tried to do in busting up the big companies, the antitrust legislation, and the environment with the national park system, he looked at the way where they were going under Taft and where they've been going ever since. Teddy Roosevelt did not die a Republican, and for John McCain to suggest that he's a Teddy Roosevelt Republican, well, he's reinventing history, and he's wrong because Teddy Roosevelt left that party and never rejoined it. So John McCain, he's entitled, he may be entitled to his own opinion, but he's certainly not entitled to his own facts. If we can play a short clip of McCain, and we'll do that right after this break.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report Saturday Roundup, and it is 23 after the hour, and this is Wayne Mattson coming in tonight from Washington, D.C., a very rain-soaked Washington. We've had Hannah pass through, and this place is more wet than it usually is. The toll-free number, if you want to call in, is 800-313-9443 here on RBN. Before we went on the break, I was talking about John McCain and these thugs that were running around a convention. Basically like Gestapo, disciplinarians. Now, yes, there are whips. Every candidate has had them. They usually make sure people vote for the candidate they're committed to, at least on the first ballot. Sometimes they have to be committed even on, if it goes to a second ballot. But anymore, now it's just these are like disciplinarians or prison wardens, basically trying to rough up or intimidate people who are elected delegates. These are elected by the people. These thugs, these Republican thugs with their ball caps, have no business doing that to people who are representing those who voted for them. Whether it's in a Democratic or Republican convention, unfortunately, these people seem to have been out in force in the Republican convention. I didn't hear of anything like that coming out of the Democratic convention. It looks like, for the most part, the Hillary Clinton delegates were, you know, taken care of to some extent, and they did allow votes at the Democratic convention for Hillary Clinton, but not so, at least not any votes that could be heard by national TV at the Republican convention. They cut the mic off of the Oklahoma delegation before they could register two votes for Ron Paul, which is just goes to show that how bad these people are. Anyway, the number, toll-free number again is 800-313-9443. Before we go to the phones, let's play this clip of McCain being confronted by, I don't know how they got in, but they sure got out fast out of the Xcel Energy Center in St. Paul. There was some Code Pink and Iraq war veterans who protested against McCain during his speech. If we can play that short clip, how McCain reacted to it.
I know we have these are tough times for many of you. You're worried about keeping... dear friends, please, please don't be diverted by the ground noise and the static. Americans want us to stop yelling at each other, okay?
Yes, let's stop yelling at each other. Yes, McCain, and what have you done in the last 8 years of George Bush? You haven't done any yelling. The people of this country have had it, and you go along with it, the program. And, you know, you could hear the sarcasm in McCain's voice. You know, people protesting the war in Iraq, which he supported. He calls it ground noise and static. Well, yes, we can see where a McCain-Palin administration is going to lead. He says he's, you know, he'll reach his hand across the aisle to the other side. He'll do that just to slap handcuffs on him and have him arrested. McCain is just, yeah, of course you couldn't, you know, see what happened there, but, this chant of USA, USA, every time there was any kind of a, protest from the floor, these automatons would start this chanting of USA, USA. To me, that's nothing more than Sieg Heil, especially in a setting like the Republican Party. Anyway, let's go to the phones. We have Alice from Michigan. Alice, are you with us?
Hey there. I was waiting for another one of my programs to come in, and I turned yours on, and I'm enjoying it. I am in Michigan.
Thank you.
And I love the program. I like what you have to say. And I'm in Oakland County, Michigan. And the same stuff that goes in at the national level also goes in at the county level.
Oh, yes. Tip O'Neill used to say all politics is local, and he was right.
Well, yeah, but the bullying tactics and everything else. We have a ninth district chair who is being paid by McCain, who will not send out information. This was during, you know, when everybody else was in the presidential primary stuff. He refused to give everybody information, even if you were elected a precinct delegate. And they changed the rules at the state level, saying that if you show up at a county convention and if a precinct delegate is there, then they get to go to the state convention, which really made Glenn Clark and his thugs, as you say, really mad.
Yes.
And then
yes.
People went up, and it was primarily the Ron Paul people and people who supported
Alice,
other
Alice,
candidates.
If you can hold that, if you can hold that thought, we'll get right back with you after this short break. I want to keep you around. We'll talk more about that. Anyway, this is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming in from Washington, D.C. The toll-free number is 800-313-9443. 33 after the hour, and we were talking to Alice from Michigan before we took the break, and Alice, you were talking about how these Republican local leaders are just like they are at the national level in really strong-arming people that are active in the party.
Yes, and what Glenn Clark and his people have done is they don't give out information to people if they know that they don't support McCain. They tell people to leave the party. They don't invite him to events, and even though McCain came to Macomb County, which is adjacent to Oakland County,
People
could not even get tickets to see McCain if they were not on the approval list, if you will.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because in 2000, the McCain people were making these same complaints about being locked out by the George Bush people, the W. Bush people. And here these hypocrites turn around and do it to everyone else. As a matter of fact, when I was at the convention in Philadelphia in 2000, I saw on the street approaching me was none other than Governor John Engler, who, because it was a winner-take-all state, McCain won Michigan in 2000. He should have gotten all the delegates. And I asked the governor, I said, Governor, what are you doing here? Are you a delegate? You're a delegate for Michigan? He said, yeah. And I said, well, it's a winner-take-all state. You're George W. Bush's co-chairman in the state. What are you doing here? He says, well, we got some of the seats because we had people coming in off the street saying they were McCain delegates, and the party had to make the determination of whether they were or not. Well, I said, well, don't you think the McCain campaign should have been the one to make that determination and not you, Governor? And, you know, then he couldn't answer the question. He ran off. But then the McCain people turn around and do the same thing. I guess it just shows how the hypocrisy of these people in politics.
Well, exactly, and what Glenn Clark did was in Oakland County, he had McCain people slated to go to the national convention. So when we went to the state convention, we had these little pieces of paper that said who we needed to vote for. They were all pro-McCain people, and this, now remember, this is when Romney had won the state of Michigan.
Right.
It's before Romney had pulled out of the race. So technically
right.
speaking, it was the same thing. It should have been Romney delegates to go. But once
exactly.
again, they changed the rules around. Oh, exactly is right.
I saw it happen in Michigan with the Engler and in 2000 with the McCain people. They turn around and do the same thing. I think what this it shows us is that it doesn't matter who the candidate is. The big machine politicians are going to call the shots, and all these caucuses and meetings at the county and local level are all just window dressing. They've made up their mind, and it doesn't matter what kind of input from the people that they get, they're gonna go their own way.
Well, this is where Glenn Clark, literally as the ninth district chair, told Ron Paul people, "I have you on the list. You're taking care of this happened at the county level." So when they went
right.
to the state level, lo and behold, their names weren't any kind of delegate or alternate list. So guess what? They had no voting powers whatsoever.
Right, right. Well, listen, thanks for calling in, Al. It's good to talk to you, and hang in there in Michigan. Hopefully Michigan and the other 49 states will be able to get together and just do something about this awful mess we're in. But thanks for calling
hopefully
in.
Hopefully so. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Before we take our next caller, I want to talk about Dick Cheney making a trip to Georgia, the Republic of Georgia, Azerbaijan, which is rich in oil. And that's where the oil is coming from, Azerbaijan through Georgia to Turkey. It's called the Baku-Tbilisi-Ceyhan pipeline. It was built mostly by, Halliburton was one of the lead companies on the construction. That's Dick Cheney's old outfit. Cheney's obviously tweaking Russia. This is a Cold War mentality individual. This guy should have been committed to an insane asylum years ago. Yesterday's Washington Post, not that I read the Post, but every once in a while they get it, but they get it very late. They're talking in the Washington Post about Bob Woodward's new book, where he's talking about a rival chain of command, an unauthorized chain of command out of Dick Cheney's office that is controlling U.S. military force. Now, I reported this was why these B-52s flew last year right before Labor Day with nuclear-tipped missiles. Cheney was moving his own nuclear weapons around outside of Robert Gates, the defense secretary. But let me just read this quickly. This book Woodward is called The War Within. The War Within also tells the story of retired General Jack Keane, a former Army Vice Chief of Staff who used his high-level contacts in the White House and the Pentagon to influence war policy and major military personnel moves. A friend and mentor of General David Petraeus, Keane made regular visits to Iraq to advise the new commanding general and then brief Cheney about each trip. In turn, Woodward reports, Bush sent a back-channel message to Petraeus through Keane, circumventing the chain of command. What in the world is going on with the military? You got Bush sending direct messages, Cheney having his own retired general telling Petraeus what to do. Petraeus should have been busted down to buck private a long time ago. This guy is a pencil sharpener. He has no business leading any troops anywhere, because what he's doing, he's leading him right to their graves because he's more of a politician. His surge was ridiculous. The Republicans will tell you the surge worked. The surge, all it did was drag out this war. The Iraqis want us gone. The government of Iraq wants us gone. And this is how much the Bush administration, Dick Cheney, trusted the Prime Minister al-Maliki. They were bugging his telephone. They wanted to know what he was talking about. That's apparently a revelation in the Bob Woodward book. This was a mess from the get-go, and they're making this mess even worse. The more they keep our troops over in that quagmire, and that's what it is. It is a quagmire. Let's play this clip. It's from Iranian TV, but this Iranian journalist, TV journalist, is interviewing a member of the Russian State Duma, and this guy has Cheney down pat. Neocon. He says he's a neocon and explains everything about Dick Cheney. If we can play this thing.
Joining me now is Sergei Markov, State Duma deputy, live from Moscow. You've called Vice President Dick Cheney a war criminal. When I've talked to you, in fact, in the past, what do you think of his tour?
We think that this tour of Dick Cheney has one goal: the impact, the imitation of Cold War between the West and Russia. And first of all, he would like to encourage war criminal Saakashvili that he will get support. Financial and also by women, and the Georgian army will be rearmed and re-equipped. And same time, he will go to the Ukrainian Saakashvili Yushchenko, the president whose popularity 5%, who want nevertheless to win next presidential elections next year. And Yushchenko needs political crisis for this, and he is going to organize such crisis. Part of this crisis will be conflict between Ukraine and Russia. We understand Dick Cheney's main goal, imitation of the Cold War with Russia, in order to help John McCain to win presidential elections.
But the Ukraine government seems
John McCain will keep neocons on the keeping position. If Obama is the president, Obama will start an investigation how Iraq war started, and this investigation will draw Dick Cheney to the American prison.
Well, Ukraine's government seems to be in chaos at the moment. Meanwhile, a third U.S. ship, the USS Mount Whitney, a flagship of the Sixth Fleet, has now sailed through the Turkish Straits and into the Black Sea. What is Moscow? What's Moscow's next move here?
I think this stink of U.S. Black Fleet. U.S. fleet in the Black Sea is very dangerous because, you know, when Navy staying nearby, every missile can
That'll give you an idea. The State Duma in Russia, in Moscow, knows a lot more about what's going on with McCain and the neocons and Dick Cheney than many people in our own Congress know. Maybe we could get some of those guys from the State Duma to trade places, send some of our representatives to Moscow and bring some of them over here. They sound like they're much more cognizant of what's going on with these neocons and Dick Cheney and trying to restart the Cold War than anyone else. But it's amazing when you think about what Cheney's trying to do here, trying to ignite this old Cold War. But anyway, so the Woodward has it, you know, now says that Cheney was operating his own chain of command, something I reported on last year. Now Woodward, of course, now that Woodward is reporting it, everyone will say, oh, yeah, well, that's quite a surprise. But it was not a surprise to many of us. We knew what was going on with this thing, and it's just outrageous. Let's go to Ruth Ann, who's been holding on from Illinois. Ruth Ann, are you with us?
Yes. I have two or three things on my mind. One is Karl Rove. You know,
right.
He went to Norway and presented his his speech or whatever his selling package is, I think he's gotten to the point where he can package up elections and he has enough backup, different companies working with him. He may be working under some kind of corporate structure. He can sell to a country, I can manipulate your elections for X dollars. He went to Norway first, and then from there he went to Yalta. But after he went to Norway, apparently they didn't buy his package. They had an uprising of Chechens, and you know who backs the Chechens.
Oh, right. So, oh, absolutely.
And I think it's gotten to the Karl Rove has gotten so sophisticated with his election manipulation that he now is packaging it and selling it around the world, literally.
And you're right, and don't think that Karl Rove is not divorced from what George Soros is up to in a lot of these countries. Everyone thinks Soros is this great liberal progressive guy.
They may be traveling as a package deal. You know,
oh, absolutely.
Soros takes the money and Karl Rove handles the elections.
Well, Rove was in Yalta with Saakashvili. They have a picture of him together.
Yeah.
And, of course, Saakashvili was Soros' guy. He put him in there. The opposition in Georgia says Saakashvili is George Soros' puppet. Now, of course, Soros is trying to distance himself. But Soros is a professional troublemaker, and he should be charged with violating the U.S. Neutrality Act from the 1930s. Any American citizen, and he holds an American passport, that gets involved in another country's wars can be charged with the criminals violating a criminal statute. I wish we would start enforcing some of the laws we have on the books here with guys like Soros and Karl Rove, for that matter, who routinely gets involved in other countries, as you said, in Norway. He was in Sweden and he was in Yalta. The guy's a domestic troublemaker, and now he's wanting to take it international.
Yeah. Also, in regards to Georgia, I noticed today that the Russians already know what's in that flagship, the Whitney.
Right.
And they know by the weight in the water and the specs on the ship, how much water displacement, they know what's in it. And they said it will be revealed very shortly. I said, oh, dear. The other thing is, we have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur coming up.
Right.
Now, if you're, you know, in that religious spectrum, that's sometimes a time of war.
Well, we know there was the Yom Kippur War in 1973, which almost became World War III, because the U.S. and the Soviet Union really got stared each other down in that one. And so you're right. Anything is possible.
And it's the 30th of September.
Right. Now, we also know Arno de Borgrav, who used to be the editor of the Washington Times, certainly a conservative, maybe not a neocon. I think you put him more in the paleoconservative area. He said that Georgia gave Israel two air bases from which they could launch their attack against Iran. Now, if you look at the map, you can see where, you know, those Israeli aircraft were going to hit northern Iran, including the capital city of Tehran and some of the nuclear facilities are in the north. So,
noticed that Cheney was meeting with the head of Spain this week. With Georgia out of the picture as far as bases, they may be wanting to go out and use Spain and, you know, Diego Garcia.
Well, he was meeting, Cheney was in Lake Como meeting with his buddy Berlusconi, who's certainly a neo-fascist, the former Spanish, as you said, former Spanish Prime Minister Aznar, who sent Spanish troops to Iraq, he was defeated amid that whole thing with the Madrid train bombing, which he tried to blame on Al-Qaeda. And, we don't even know who carried out the Madrid train bombing, just like we don't really know who carried out the 9/11 attack here and the bombing of the London Transit. But clearly, Aznar had his fingers in something very, very suspicious when that bombing took place around the time of the Spanish election. Fortunately, he got thrown out. Also, Cheney met with this guy, Sutherland, who's not only the CEO of British Petroleum, but also of Goldman Sachs. Now, what do you think him and Cheney would have been talking about? That, you know, a guy with a company like Goldman Sachs and BP. I mean, this guy, Cheney, has oil coursing through his veins.
That's true. Very true.
I mean, I don't think he's a human. I think he's a, machine. I think he's an automaton, a robot. I mean, the guy doesn't
I thought he was packing up. He's been looking for a house in Dubai, that island of the palms or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
Was moving on.
But he's building a huge McMansion over near, right near the CIA headquarters in Northern Virginia, and he's got a huge place over on the eastern shore of Maryland. So it looks like he's going to spend some of his time in Dubai, but a lot in the Washington D.C. area. I don't think this guy's going to go away anytime soon. I know he's had all these heart attacks and he's got stents, but I don't think he's a human. I think he's a robot. I think he's he just has to be reprogrammed more than anything else. If anyone could figure out what program he's running on, it's probably something Microsoft developed, you know, Bill Gates.
Well, that's hackable.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, and I enjoy your program.
Thank you very much, and we'll be right back after this break.
Here's a story. You wash your car, how long does it last? 3 days? A week? 2 weeks? Life Change Tea eliminates chemicals, toxins, and parasites, and much more. The effect? You lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. So here's the story. You wash your car, it gets dirty again. You cleanse your body, chemicals and toxins come back. The fix? Stay on the tea! And here's how we will help. Ask for the Mid-State Fair Special when ordering. Here's how to order. Online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Get the tea. Restoring America's health, one tea bag at a time.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report Saturday Roundup on Republic Broadcasting Network, 54 after the hour. In the short time we have left, I want to talk a little bit about where journalism is going in not only in Washington, D.C., but actually around the country. A guy that I had the pleasure of speaking to on a few occasions here at the National Press Club in Washington, former CBS News veteran reporter Ike Pappas passed away this past week. Every time one of these people that I really admire, because these people like Ike Pappas, people like Eric Severide, we still have a few, fortunately, with us, Walter Cronkite and Andy Rooney. These are the folks that came from print journalism, where you really learn how to be a journalist. Some of them transitioned to radio, and then when TV started after World War II, they went into television. And Ike Pappas, although he wasn't World War II, he was later on. He was with Stars and Stripes in the Army, and then went to WNEW radio in New York, where he was the guy in the basement of the Dallas Police Department. He was in Dallas covering President Kennedy's visit. He witnessed the assassination, and then unbelievably, he was in the basement of the Dallas Police Department when they brought Lee Harvey Oswald out to transfer him. He's the guy. It was Ike Pappas who asked Oswald if he had anything to say in his defense. All of a sudden, this man rushes by, Ike Pappas, and it's Jack Ruby, and he shoots Oswald at point blank range. If you go to YouTube, it's about 5.5 minutes long. Type in Ike Pappas, and you'll get the audio of his report. It is the kind of journalism that we miss so much, I think, nowadays. I mean, he was told that the guy who shot Oswald's name was Jack Ruby. He reached in his pocket. He says, "Wait a minute, this guy, Carousel Club, Jack Ruby, he's been hanging around here for the last week or so. I've seen him here at the police department the last couple of days." And so that kind of journalism doesn't exist anymore. This is where people actually did something. They didn't sit at a desk like so many here in Washington do, where they talk to their chums on the phone and meet them for lunch. And it's all the same nonsense. You see it on these talking head shows, the convention coverage. It was one poltroon talking to another poltroon. David Gergen says this, and this guy, David Brooks, says this. And who needs to hear this? It's the same droning garbage from all these people. They're not reporting news. They're echoing each other's comments that have already been pre-approved by Time Warner, Disney, General Electric, News Corporation, and all these people that own these broadcast media infotainment companies. It's not journalism. So when a guy like Ike Pappas, when I heard he died this past week of a heart attack, it's like so many others that I've known who I always admired as real journalists who are no longer with us, people like Paul Duke, who I knew, and Peter Jennings. But anyway, some of us will hang in there and try to keep the old spirit of the journalism alive in the nation's capital. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup. Thanks for joining us, and we will be back with you at the same time next Saturday on the Public Broadcast Network.